Ahaz was supposed to have faith in the one true living God. However, he reigned in Judah for 16 years, and he made every effort to destroy the religious foundations of the nation of Judah. He shut the gates of the temple and he melted down the temple vessels for gold and silver. He offered burnt offerings of incense in high places, and he worshipped the stars, the moon, and the sun. 2 Kings 16, 2-4 tells us, unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He no longer believes in the strength and the power of the living God. God had allowed him to go his own way. Ahaz had allowed himself to believe his own perception of God was that of a weak and impotent God. And this is the Ahaz we now find in chapter 7. Ahaz finds himself in serious trouble. Two of his arch enemies were coming back. The king of Aram and the king of Israel had marched against Judah in the past and cost Judah 100,000 soldiers in one single day, sorry, 120,000 in one single day, and had cost 200,000 warriors, people who were carried off into captivity. And now, once again, these two armies stood at the door, ready to destroy. And Ahaz was terrified. The people of Judah were terrified. They're saying, yes, we're going to have to find an ally bigger than these two to protect us. And he's about to appeal to the king of Assyria. Ahaz is about to enter into a very serious alliance with a power much greater than the ones he had already encountered. A power that, should he choose to go ahead and turn his back on God, would consume the people of Judah and cause significant hardship and suffering. But before Ahaz actually gets to this point of bargaining with Assyria, God steps into the picture through the prophet Isaiah and offers Ahaz another solution. It says, so he sent his prophet Isaiah to meet Ahaz, and Isaiah was to take his son Sheer-Jashub with him. Sheer-Jashub means a remnant shall return. And this was God's way of reassuring Ahaz that Judah would never be wiped off the face of the earth. God would ensure that a remnant would remain faithful and return in victory. And so he tells Ahaz through Isaiah that the invasion of the two enemies will not take place. He tells him he can trust him, God, in the midst of this threat. He tells him he doesn't need to be afraid. He even goes a step further and he says, ask your God for a sign, whether it's in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. And what God is really saying is, look, let me prove to you that this is me and I can be trusted. Ask for a sign, any sign, so that you will know that Isaiah speaks my truth to you. But this is such an amazing act of grace on God's part. He is offering a king who has defiled himself and intentionally turned his back on God a second chance. A chance to be rescued out of the hands of the enemy. A chance to step back from taking Judah deeper into anguish and destruction. But Ahaz says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord. Notice not my word. I will not put the Lord to the test. And you and I would think, well, that's the right thing to do, because doesn't the word say, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test? Yes, it does. Except when the Lord himself is saying, ask me for a sign, test me. When he commands it, he expects us to respond. Ahaz was not being pious. God had commanded him to ask for a sign and he refused. Why? I think it has a whole lot to do with the reality that if Ahaz asked God for a sign and God fulfilled that sign, it would reveal to Ahaz God's truth. And Ahaz would have to accept God and his leading. He would have to trust God with his life. He would not be able to put into actions his own will and his own way of dealing with the struggles of life. And because Ahaz had crossed or turned his back to God for so long, he was afraid to trust that God was big enough and powerful enough to rescue him. So in a sense, Ahaz was saying, no, it's okay, thank you very much, I can rescue myself. And therein we find the worst of mankind's nature. The belief that we are big enough to rescue ourselves. It's just as prevalent in our society and, dare I say, even in the church today. If we would just work hard enough, pray hard enough, be good enough, we will be able to rescue ourselves. We might think, no, thank you, God, I've got this. I can rescue myself. And the thing is that God will, at times, give us exactly what we ask for. Ahaz didn't want God to fulfill a sign. He wanted to do life his own way. He wanted to choose who he would partner with. And God would let him go his own way. It would eventually cause devastation to the people of Judah. They would end up having to pay Assyria protection money, significant amount of protection money over many years, not to stop the king of Iran, or the king of Israel attacking them, because what God said came to be, both of those were destroyed before they could destroy Judah. Instead, they would have to pay protection money to Assyria to stop Assyria from attacking them and destroying them. God knew what would happen if Ahaz turned away from him to the Assyrians. He knew the pain and suffering his people would experience because of Ahaz's disobedience. And so in the face of what is about to happen, God speaks angrily to Ahaz through Isaiah. He says, I will give you a sign even though you do not want one. And he said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This was both a proclamation of what was to come and a condemnation. Ahaz would have understood that the meaning of the word Emmanuel means God with us. And I think that Ahaz may well have understood that God would let him walk away and not be with him and his people for a time. He and the people of Judah would be given ample opportunity to chew over this new prophecy in the pain and the struggle that lay ahead. Maybe at the time he would come to a place of longing to have God with us. Maybe he would ponder on the words, a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. But for now we need to understand, this was the very thing Ahaz did not want. He did not want God with us. But God gave this sign whether Ahaz wanted it or not. And God was saying, firstly, through Shesh, Jashub, not very good at his name, a remnant shall return. And then through his prophecy, a virgin will give birth to a child and she shall name him Emmanuel, God with us, that this would happen one day. One day the remnant of the people of Judah would return to God and God would be with them and he would save them. That was the problem, the promise to Judah. It would be God's promise to us. Yet, even since this prophecy was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, when all of eternity changed forever, in one sense, not a lot has really changed. We still have the spirit of Ahaz present today. There are people today who still don't want to hear from God. They still don't want to know about the truth of the virgin birth and what that means for them today. They do not want to believe in a God who is powerful enough to redeem them and fill their lives with hope and redemption. Many hear about the virgin birth, even religious people, and turn away in disbelief, believing that even God couldn't possibly cause a virgin to be with child. Like Ahaz, many people believe in God, but they choose not to believe in the Lord God Almighty. They certainly do not want to put their trust in a man that was born of a woman. Did you know that many Christians no longer believe in the virgin birth? And they sort of argue it away saying it doesn't really matter as long as you believe in Jesus. Now, if it was just the prophecy from Isaiah that maintained the virgin birth, I could understand that. There are things about the prophecy that could be read in a different way. But then we read in Matthew 1, 22 and 23 that tells us that Jesus' birth to Mary took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We have to believe that as much as any other aspect of the Bible, because you cannot take out one part and then trust that the rest is valid. Why is it important for us to understand that Jesus was born of a virgin? Because the word firstly says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. And in Matthew we gave you, tells Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. We need to understand this was a virgin pregnancy. And the reason it is important is that because if the babe was the offspring of man and woman, of a mortal man and a mortal woman, Jesus would be a mortal man. He would not be able to rescue humanity because he would not be perfect, because none of us are, and God demands only perfection. In the Bible, you will very rarely read about a woman who bears a child or the offspring of a woman. You will read more about the offspring of the Father. Galatians 4:4 picks up on this and tells us, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law. Not born of a man and woman, but born of a woman. It had to be this way. If Jesus had been born of a mortal woman and a mortal man, he would be no different to you and me. God didn't send a mortal to die for us. He didn't send a prophet to die in our place. He didn't send a nice man to die for our sins. God came down in human form and shed his blood for our sins. If Jesus had been merely a mortal, he wouldn't have been the perfect sacrifice. One without blemish. That's why, speaking about the coming Messiah, Isaiah says in chapter 59, verses 16 to 17, God saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in the zeal as in a cloak. And then in verse 20 he says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. When the angel declared a prophecy about Mary in Matthew, it said this took place to fulfill But the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus was born to Mary, he was literally God with us. If he hadn't been born a virgin, that could not have been true. The virgin birth matters. To reject the salvation God was offering Ahaz from the enemy, Ahaz and the whole nation would suffer terribly and almost be destroyed, but for the remnant. Salvation would come to a remnant and to anyone else from any tribe or land or nation who would accept the prophecy of the virgin birth of Emmanuel, God with us. It is through the acceptance of that same virgin birth, the acceptance of the birth of Christ, God with us, born for our redemption, that we would fully experience the reality of God with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God with us. God with me. God with you. I wonder if you have the courage to put your faith in the babe of the Virgin, to believe that he is the Almighty God, all-powerful, all-majestic, completely capable. And if you believe in him so much that you would have the courage to share that same person with others who don't know him. Because the reason we don't is because sometimes we're like Ahaz, and our faith in God is not in the Lord God Almighty. And so we are afraid. May you have courage to speak truth without worrying about the outcome, because that's God's responsibility. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that by your grace that you should choose to give us Jesus, not because we were good, not because we were worthy, not because we were faithful, but because you are good, you are worthy, and you are faithful. Grow our faith in the living God to such an extent that we can no longer hold the news to ourselves, but with courage and with great love, we'll share your truth, the birth of your Son, who would become our Saviour and is our Saviour, with those we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.